Welcome to episode 26 of Unapologetically Overcoming. I'm your host, Jess Marie. My guest today is here to talk about being a teen mom and how she didn't let that hold her back from being a successful business owner. This episode is for anyone who needs a reminder that we all face obstacles, some of which are more challenging than others, but we can grow and learn from them and still be successful. If this applies to you, or even if it doesn't, take a listen to this conversation. All right, my guest today is here to talk about a topic that definitely has a lot of stigmas attached to it. I'm excited to share this conversation with you all, and I'm excited to welcome her. I'm going to let her introduce herself and tell us all a little bit about who she is and what she does. Welcome, and thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me. My name is Lily. I am married. I have two children. They're both 15 and 17 now. And been married since I was 16 years old. So I did become a teen mom, and now I am a mom of teens. So the journey has been quite adventurous. I taught high school English for 10 years. And in that time, I got lots of education. I went and did my master's, got my certification in administration and leadership. So I'm have my supervisor cert, my principal cert in the state of New Jersey, but I am no longer practicing education. Just when you think you're setting your life up for one thing, things turn around when you open up and you have your spiritual awakening, your epiphanies, and you just grow up and things change for you. So my plans went from education to a different kind of education. And that's what I like to say, because when you're life coaching and you're helping people just heal and sharing tools, that's a different way to teach. So I'm no longer in the classroom, but I am in the business of mental health advocacy, and I have my life coaching business and my podcast. And so here I am wearing many hats and managing a family business from home and establishing different businesses while I continue on this journey that we call life.
Awesome. Awesome. So you mentioned in your introduction about being a teen mom. Could you share with us a little bit about your journey through that?
Well, I can say that prior to becoming a mom at so young, right? I did get pregnant at 16, but I was already mothering in so many senses of the word, because when my parents split, it's about 10 or 11 years old, my mom started to work so many hours to cover everything. My dad completely just dipped, like we say, he dipped on us. So he completely left us and so left us dry. And my mom put in hours, 17, 18 hours a day to work and make sure that everything was covered. And, you know, we didn't need him if he wasn't going to help us in any way, shape, or form. So I took over whatever that my mom would do at home. I was doing it at home. I would cook, clean, you know, take care of my little brother, make sure he did his homework, make sure he was in before the lights were out, when kids used to hang out outside before the lights were out, you know. And it's like, all right, it's getting dark, you better get in here before them lights go on the streets, because I want to be able to see you if I look outside the window. Now you got to come in, you got to shower, you got to eat, now let's sit down and do homework. And we have to make sure the windows are closed, the doors are locked, lights are off, nothing's plugged in. So there was a lot of taking care of others already that kicked in at a very early age, and helping my mom with her duties. So when I did meet my husband at 15, I was beyond like my years. I was already a mature child, and then here I go. So I stepped into adulthood very early. I went from child to adulthood pretty fast. So when I did become a teen mom, I did not rely on what I didn't know. I felt like, okay, I do have, you know, the nurturing gene. I have this, you know, like ability to take care of others, so I'm okay. So I really took that with me, and I took care of my children with no fear. I actually, once my son was 3 months old, I was a senior in high school. So by the time he was 3 months, I was like, March, April, I was like, you know what? I want to have another baby. My husband was like, are you crazy? Like, you're in, you know, you're in school. I'm like, yeah, but by the time I have a baby, I won't be in school. I'd already been graduated and I could take a year or two off to be with the babies at home. And then I can go to school. College will always be there, but I feel like I want to raise my kids together. Like I wanted my son to have a best friend, a sibling, and not feel so lonely because I had no help. I didn't have family that, lived with us permanently that I can say, hey, I need to go step out. Can you come over and let me? No, as I said earlier, my mom was working a lot. And then she also remarried before I got married and had a daughter. So I was taking care of my little brother and sister.
Wow.
So mothering came very early, but it was not something that I felt challenged by.
Which is kind of a blessing when you think about it. I mean,
Absolutely.
obviously it's tough to think about like a young child taking care of other children, whether it be siblings or their own children, but it ultimately probably helped you in your role when you became a teen parent because you had all of that experience under your belt.
I
So,
did.
yeah, I mean,
It
probably a
worked
blessing in
out.
disguise. Yeah, like you didn't realize it when it was happening, but
Yeah.
it ended up helping you out when you did need it. So.
Yeah, it did work out. I never felt like incapable of taking care of my children. I already have a mindset of taking care of others. The one thing I didn't have was make sure that I took care of myself first and then others. So that took a long time to not feel guilty about and to make
Yeah.
that a norm. To take care of myself first and then others.
That's such an important message too, because I even think like as adults, we have a hard time sometimes putting ourselves first. We do everything, especially as mothers too. Like we do everything for everyone else and make sure everybody else is good first, and then we take care of ourselves. But sometimes when we're doing things that way, like there's nothing left for ourselves at the end of the day. So that's a really important message that I hope people hear, like really hear that you have to put yourself first and take care of yourself, because if
Yeah.
you don't have anything to give to anybody
Absolutely.
else.
Absolutely. And I know culturally for me, I'm Hispanic. And in my culture, it was always like our schedule in the house and what we ate was about the man of the house. So he got the best plate and he got the plate served first. It didn't matter what time he came home. We had to wait for him to eat dinner. That kind of thing, was what I saw and learned growing up.
Yeah.
And so there was always this like learning that the man in the house came first, not the woman. And so that's also something that culturally we learn that it's about him, right? The head of
Yeah.
household and not about everyone and not about
Yeah.
shared responsibility and
Yeah.
taking care of yourself. So that's also something that I struggled with for many years. Like, wait, I didn't want to fall into those same traps of
Yeah.
like expectations because of gender or culture. I was like, right is right, wrong is wrong. But
Nope.
there's also that gray area of what is right for you may not be for others. So I had to learn and unlearn, which was the
Yep.
biggest part was, and that's the hardest part. It's easy to sit
Yes.
down and acquire information, but to process that and figure out what works for you and apply it to your life, that's the tricky part.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So, this podcast focuses on stigmas. So, what are some stigmas that either you experienced as a teen mom or that you've heard out there in the world, that you could share with the listeners?
Well, the number one stigma is that children hold you back from achieving your goals when you have them very young. And I can understand that. I can understand where that idea generates from. And I mean, I personally experienced a lot of neglect. Like when I was the honor roll student, I was the sweetie who was like, hey, like kind of a teacher's pet. And like, handed out papers and was at the front of the classroom paying attention. The kids, people went up to like, hey, you did the homework. Duh, I did the homework. Of course, I did the homework. Like, why wouldn't I? Like, I went home, I, cleaned the dishes, made some dinner, cleaned up after, helped my sister, did my homework. I was in bed by 8. No problem. Like a whole adult. Like I was totally responsible. It didn't matter to me. So being responsible was never a thing. So that was what the image was in my school and with my family. I spoke a lot about college. I spoke about possibly joining the military. My uncle was in the military for 23 years. And so he served, and I had conversations with him because I always worried about paying for college, you know, being raised ultimately, you know, as a preteen by a single mom, you worry and you're like, you know what? I don't want this burden on my mom and I don't know how to do this. I'd be the first one in college in my family. So that was a stigma, like, okay, she's pregnant. Now she's not going to do anything. Now she's just going to be at home barefoot, pregnant, just having kids for a guy who knows how he's going to treat her. And that's it. Her whole future, her whole life is over. So that was like the family side. And then my school wise, everybody was in shock. Like, who got this girl pregnant? Because I was never walking around the halls with anyone holding hands. I was never affectionate. I was never that kid that went to school looking for attention. So it was like, who got this girl pregnant? Like, what's going on? So when I tell you, I used to like during lunch, I would have my lunch and I would stand by administration or teachers that were there for lunch duty and like talk about the future and just talk about kids and just talk about life. That when they saw me with a belly at the beginning of my senior year, they didn't want to talk to me. They were that disappointed. They did not want to talk
Wow.
to me. I would go to them and they would like start walking away when they knew I was coming towards them to like talk. And I was like, wow, this is it. Okay, great.
My
Thanks. So
gosh.
I felt like instead of getting a support where it was like, you know, how did that happen? Everybody knows how it happened. If you're not going to take care of this child or me, why are you giving me your back? Because I'm not asking for anything. You know,
Right.
like, you could literally, you know, easily say, well, there's programs out there. I know of women who, you know, keep going. I understand that you're going to have to raise your kid for a couple years, but don't stop. You do have a bright future. Instead, the stigma was you don't have a future at all. So I felt like the people that could have supported me turned around and just gave me their backs. So I felt very lonely. I felt very alone. And in turn, you know, you start to internalize what they're saying and doing. And then you do feel like a failure. So, what I did was pour all that energy to try to become the best mom possible, the TV mom, the sports mom, whatever it was that I saw that to me fell under the nurturing mother, like bake the bread and make the cookies with the kids and, you know, teach them the outfit, teach them the colors, do that for them. I said, that's what I'm going to do because one thing no one's going to take away from me now is motherhood. And I'm going to pour all that energy into this here. And I was very fortunate to do that. My husband is 7 years older than me. So he was able to provide with no problem. And I was able to focus on the house, the children, myself. But again, myself didn't come till later on. It was always the house and the children, the house and the children. Because I didn't want to focus back on to me because me, Lily, felt like a failure. So I didn't want to focus on that. And so that was like the back burner.
I think that's so powerful to hear though, because even though you were like internalizing things and letting those things that, you know, people say, because it's hard not to let stuff like that, especially as a child, to not let that stuff weigh on you. I mean, it was still in your head and affecting you, but like you used it in a different way. Like you didn't succumb to that stigma and that belief that, you know, oh, I'm a teen mom, so now I'm a failure. Like you heard it and you felt it, but you used it to like push through. And I mean, that's hard for a teenager to do. I mean, ultimately, I think it's hard for adults to do sometimes. I mean, that's the whole reason why I have this podcast, is because there are way too many stigmas out there about way too many things. And a lot of the times we feel the way we do about ourselves because of what other people say and think and make us feel. So I really do think that's powerful that, you know, you were able to at such a young age turn it around and use it to grow and flourish and learn and, you know, do all those things.
Absolutely. And I think what really guided me was just like I was always very spiritual in a sense. I didn't call myself spiritual, but I always had this big, profound like connection to the divine. And I always felt like I would hear this voice say, keep going. You're not a failure. And right now it's not about you. And that's okay. And that's why so many of us do go through postpartum depression because we don't know how to navigate the new you. It doesn't matter if you are a mom for the third or fourth time, it's a new you because you have new life that you've given birth to, and it's a whole transition. And the more layers of responsibility that is added on, it creates a different kind of sense of urgency to protect and to be there for someone else. So yes, when you do become a mom, at no matter what age, it is no longer just about you. Okay,
Right.
it is about you, but it's also that whatever you do will impact this child. And unfortunately, in this world, it doesn't matter what country you live in, mothers are the ones that hold their children. I mean, the dads can literally marry, remarry, divorce, whatever, have a bunch of kids out there, and it's like, well, that's my dad, whatever. It's totally forgiven. It's like they're born with this, permanent forgiveness card. But moms, like moms are looked at so heavy on, if they're dating one person, it's like, oh my gosh, you're dating. Oh my gosh, how is she mothering this child? And it's like, are you kidding me? She is a mother, but she was woman before mother. If she finds her balance and her child is loved, well taken care of, healthy and happy, what does that mean for you? But unfortunately, in this world, mother is heavy, right? Mother is gold. And people, really struggle with separating mother from woman. So we have to really, really, really own up to the title and the responsibilities and the duties in a way that no one else understands. That doesn't mean that every mother does that. Yes, there's of mothers who are like, nah, it's about me. And okay, they ate, they have a place to stay, they're good. Okay. And there's no emotional well-being, developed and, really taken care of in a home. But it's up to us to really provide that space for them, but not forget about us. And that's a heavy balance to really figure out.
It is. I feel like we could do like a whole other episode on
Oh, yeah.
that topic
Oh,
alone,
yeah.
because
Absolutely. Absolutely.
being a parent, I mean a mom specifically, when you do something for yourself, there's so much mom guilt that comes along
Yes.
with that,
Yes.
and there's nothing wrong with doing things for yourself. And I think that somewhere along the way, like I don't know how it happened, but like you said, we're like you're a mother now, like that's all you're supposed to be. That's all you're supposed to do. That's it. And like, no, that's not it. You can still have friends. If you're not with the father of your child, you can date, you can have a boyfriend, you can get married again if that's what you like. You can do all of those things. Like there's no shame in any of those things. Go on trips, do all the things. There's
Yeah.
nothing wrong with doing that. I think like I want to scream that from the
Right.
rooftops because like people need to hear that. Men and women, mothers, not people who aren't mothers, like
Yeah.
because there really is a lot of shame and guilt that's put on moms for doing things for themselves. And I mean, being a teenager, I can't even imagine what that must feel like because you're kind of alone. Motherhood is lonely in general. Like you often feel like you don't have anyone, people don't understand, you can't talk to people. But I can only imagine being a teenager, you literally
Yeah.
probably were alone because there was no other people who were in that same position as you. So I'm sure it was like a million times harder than
Well,
an
you know,
adult.
it's funny you say that because I'm listening to you and I'm like, well, once you become a teen mom, you're always a teen mom because your children will grow up and they're going to, like my son and my daughter, they are part of travel teams and, their age group and their parents are much older than I am. So they always think I'm the older sister. And they wonder at times because they're like, no way, there's no way. And then fortunately, unfortunately, I do look much younger than what I am. So I got my mom's jeans. And so here I am looking younger than what I am. And they always assume that. So they always, their faces like, oh my God, go cold when the kids are like, mom. They're like, oh crap, that's the mom. And I'll say good morning. I'll have my cup of coffee. I'm a total mom. I don't dress like a teenager or like I'm in my 20s. Okay. I'm there dressing just like them because I am a mom. It doesn't matter what age I am. I, show respect to whatever my son's team, whatever. I'm just there being mom. I don't care. And so I'm like, yeah, I come in, good morning. How's everything? What's the score? Or how's everything, or how's your child? And they'll be like, good, good, good. And kind of like, brush it off. And it's funny because you just never stop being a teen mom. And when you say, yeah, that's my son, they'll ask, oh my God, that's your son. Let me tell you, my son looks a lot like me, and so does my daughter. So I'm like, there's no way. You're not
Right.
going to know that we're not related, but I
Yeah.
get it. But at this point, it's like they'll make comments still, like, when'd you have him, at 12? And I'm like, now 10, like, ridiculous.
Right.
Because what does that matter to you?
Yeah, it shouldn't.
Let me tell you, knock on wood, and I don't knock anybody else for having to get whatever assistance they need, because that's what it's there for. But I never needed that. I was so
Yeah.
fortunate. And I say it over and over, I was able to focus on my children's emotional and every physical, every well-being, because I had the space to do that. We were provided for very well. I owned a home by the time I was 18, and they had their rooms. It was a very different upbringing than my own, even though I was very young. And I
Yeah.
cherished that. And I took advantage of that. And I said, I'm going to mommy them no matter what. And I also knew people that were older than me that were just not caring about this huge opportunity that they had to nurture. And
Yeah.
I just figured at a very young age, it stops with me. So I'm going to pour my heart and soul into giving everything to my kids to ensure that it stops with me. And so even though I was a teen mom, I got to school, got my associates. All right, what's next? Got my bachelor's. All right, what's next? Got my master's. My husband said, there's no next. Okay, you get a PhD, we're done, woman, because you are wild. Like, just use your education for now. And then I got certified and I did so many other things, and I have my cosmetology license. Because feeling like a failure at so young, I felt like I had to make up for it. And so I got addicted to success. I got addicted to certifications and schooling, because I felt like, hey, now what? Now
Yeah.
you can't take that away from me,
Nope.
and my kids will never be a reason why I didn't do something. Because you could use whatever you want in life as a reason or an excuse, and I decided
Yep.
to use that to motivate me. No matter how long it took, I got it done.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome.
Wasn't easy, but yeah.
I'm sure it wasn't, but you did it. And I mean, you should be proud of yourself, which I'm sure you are. But and I think that's an important message for other people to hear. Especially when they are feeling, first of all, I mean, number one, you don't have to prove yourself to anyone. Like, I think people need to hear that.
Yes.
But I understand feeling that way and like being able to be like, yeah, well, you thought I couldn't do it and I did. So now what? Like, I get both sides of it
Oh, yeah.
100%. So.
Absolutely. But healing got me to recognize that I was doing it for two reasons. One was to prove to my children when they're older, listen, doesn't matter what situation you're in, you're going to come out of it, but it's up to you. You're going
Yeah.
to have to sacrifice a lot, but that's what life is about.
Yep.
And two, the flip side was trying to prove my dad and society wrong. Like, I wasn't a failure.
Yeah.
So either way, it was a great drive, and I
Yeah,
didn't let it hinder
absolutely.
me from knowing that when I put my mind to something, I can do it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I had little sleep. Very, when I tell you very, very little sleep, because I was still 100% full-time mom that
Yeah.
never ever stopped. My kids didn't have school. They were with me in the university. Like, I would tell the professor,
Oh.
like, they're coming with me, and they were extremely well behaved. I mean, the professors would give them like little markers they could be on the board while he or she was lecturing.
Oh,
They were so well behaved. I could take my kids anywhere. And you know what? I took them everywhere because I didn't have that help. If they weren't
right.
in school or pre-K, I didn't have the help. So I always made it work with them. So they got
Yeah.
to experience that with me and grow up with me.
That's such an important lesson, though, like you said, for children to see. Because I think whether parents realize it or not, children are learning from you good things and bad things, whether you're intentionally teaching them or just living life. So, like, seeing you persevere and push through and like accomplish all these goals and everything shows them without you even having to like sit down and teach them that they can also do that in any area of life.
Right. Yeah. I try to live by example. I'm not the kind of person, ironically, even though I have a podcast, I share my experiences, but I don't like to sit there and say, this is what you have to do, because I like to live by example. And kids specifically, they're going to do what they see, not what they hear.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's that whole that famous phrase,
Yeah.
do. Well, no, it do as I, they say, do as I say and not as
Right.
I do, but
They
it
do the opposite.
really, It's the opposite, because you could talk and say all the things, and then you do the opposite. And it's like, wait, hold on a second.
Correct.
Yeah. That's not right.
Kids are seeing through you. They're watching you more than anything.
Yep.
They have been your number one observer since they were born. Yeah. They're watching how you talk, how you dance, how you dress, how you smell, how you eat, how you talk around certain people. They'll be the first ones to tell you, ew, why you laugh like that? You don't laugh like that. Ew, why you say that? Why you so loud? You're not like that. And it's like,
I know.
They will be the first ones to call you out because
absolutely.
They know you 100%.
Yep, absolutely. Which is good and bad.
Yeah,
sometimes,
yeah,
depending on the situation.
Right, right.
Right, you'll be quiet over there.
Yeah.
Enough of you.
True.
All right, so if there was one thing that you would want people to take away from today's interview, whether it be about being a teen mom, a mom in general, anything like that, what would it be?
My thing is what's worked for me and what works for any person who finds their form of success, because I don't think monetary success is the only way to reach that. Mm-hmm. There's many levels. Is what worked for me, and it's the saying that I said once, and it stuck to me. It's have the audacity to believe in yourself. So many people will doubt you. You will doubt you. Mm-hmm. Have that audacity and the courage to believe in yourself, because when you do believe in yourself, you're going to manifest the life that you didn't think you deserved,
mm-hmm.
because you didn't think you had the courage to work on it. So believe in it. Believe in yourself.
I love that. And that may actually be the answer to my next question too, because as you know, I ask my guests to share an inspirational quote or message. I feel like you kind of just did that, but if you have another one to share, that's great too.
Well, you know what? There is something else. I was told my very, very first day of teaching that didn't make sense in the moment. I kind of giggled from another veteran teacher, and he sat behind me. Great person, my goodness. And he just said, hey, you, yeah, the new girl. And I turned around. We were at a first staff meeting. And he's like, listen, what I'm going to tell you is this. Go with the flow. And as simple as it was, what that to me translated on later was go with the flow. Don't fight against the rocks, right? Because life is going to happen no matter what you think.
Mm-hmm.
Things are going to happen. They're going to unravel and they're going to develop as it should. So go with the flow. Don't fight it. Learn the lessons, because when you're fighting it, it's because you don't want to learn the lessons. So that's when cycles and things are going to repeat and pattern until you learn it. So go with the flow and learn as you go. So that to me has been tremendous. And I think that could help anyone in any stage of their lives when they feel stuck and they feel like they're in this, you know, bubble and they can't get out and they're having a hard time transitioning. Go with the flow and learn as you go. It's a beautiful, beautiful way.
It is. And it's simple, but it's powerful. Cause when you think about it, a lot of times people, when they're going, like they want to try to push back to whatever is happening. And sometimes no matter how hard you push, it's not going to change anything. And you really don't have any choice but to go with the flow. So
you're not in control. We are not in control.
Yep. Absolutely. All right. So where can people find you? Social media, website, all that good stuff.
Well, listeners can find me at lilyjeanette.com. There you can find through the tabs my podcast called True Lessons. It's available wherever you listen to podcasts. We just finished our sixth season. There you could also find my coaching business called Empowered Majesty Team. I have also founded a group of women called Empowerment and Mindfulness Circle. So we just had our first meeting in New Jersey and in Florida. So we had a wine tasting event here in New Jersey and one in Florida. So we are looking for ambassadors in other states who would like to
run
the events on the same day. So we could be sharing that energy where we meet, talk about motherhood and just everything in between, work life, where we are, support one another, and just find how we can support one another in life's transitions. You never know where you are could be where someone else was a while ago and they can assist you and vice versa. And I have a book coming out by the end of this year called So I'm Healed Now What? So I'm excited about that.
Exciting.
It's been for 2 years and it's time that I finish editing it and putting it out there for those who can use that as a tool and resource for their healing. So I'm excited. If you want to connect with me, again, lilyjeanette.com. My social media pages are also there and my email. So I will look forward to connecting with anyone who's on their journey of healing.
Awesome. I love all of that so much. And I will link all that information in the show notes for this episode. Thank you again so much for having this conversation with me. I really think this was an important conversation and there were so many important messages in the things that you said. So thank you so much for sharing all of that with us today.
Of course, of course. Thank you for having me on, Jesse. I can't wait to hear it.
This was an important conversation, whether you can relate to this specific topic or not. So many times we are given messages that if we don't do things the way society says we should, we're wrong or bound for failure. This episode is an important reminder that this is not accurate. There are so many ways for us to do life, and just because someone's path may not be what society says it should be, it doesn't make it any less valuable. I'd like to thank Lily again for joining me and sharing her story with all of us. All of her information is linked in the show notes for today's episode. Thank you all for listening, and remember, be kind to yourselves, be kind to each other, and be unapologetically you.